Hey, good morning, guys. How are you? Are you really good? Who's ready for football season to start up? Yeah, I know it's getting close because everybody's trying to cram their weddings in. We went to two weddings this weekend, okay? So it must be getting close. Well, good morning. My name is Robert Kahn, one of the pastors here at Reality Church. So glad that you guys chose to be here today. We know you could have been a lot of other places. You could have been, frankly, not doing anything at all. So thanks for being here, and we're glad that you are here. We are in a series called Showing Our Cards. Now, what this series is at least once a year, we like to just kind of lay out our philosophy of ministry for everybody. And so in this particular series, we want to show you why it is we do what we do. Because we could do a lot of different things. There's a lot of good things that people do, and we could do a lot of random things, but we have chosen to do certain things a certain way. So we, in essence, want to show you our cards. We don't want you to be in the dark. We don't want you to be asking questions. Why do they do things like this? Why do we do things like that? We want you to know. So we want to just show you, here's our hand. Here's kind of what we do. Last week, Lance talked about focus. That was the first step in our process. And then this week, we're going to talk about the second step of our process, which is risk. So to stick with our theme of cards, okay, if you've ever played a card game, anything like that, you know that you have to be willing to risk losing, really. You have to be willing to risk the chips that you have, or the money that's there, or the Cheerios, or sunflower seeds, whatever you're playing with, okay? You have to be willing to risk losing that in order to really experience what it feels like to win at the game. And so we're going to be talking about that. And obviously, for our circumstances, when we say risk, we don't mean you should go play Texas Hold'em, necessarily. What we're talking about when we say risk is we want you to risk authentic relationships with other people. That's what we want you to do in our second step of the process when it comes to risk. Because here's the deal. As long as that's going to be a part of our process, as long as we're going to put risk on things, we're going to print it out and say this is our process for discipleship. As long as that's the case, guys, we have to get an A on it. We have to do well. Because if it was not part of our process, then we could pretty much do whatever we wanted to do and nobody would care. But as long as we're advertising it as part of our process, we need to do well at it. And so we want to show our hand. We want to show you our cards and say, look, here's what we're playing with. Who's in? Right? That sort of thing. So there was a guy named Paul who was a missionary. He was a church planter, and he wrote what would become much of our New Testament. And so he traveled around, and he visited this one particular group of people called the Thessalonians, okay? And so later on in life, Paul is writing to these people, and he writes them a letter, and he titles it, wait for it, Thessalonians, okay? So he's writing to them saying, hey, remember when we were with you and the things that we did and all sorts of things. So he starts off the letter, 1 Thessalonians 2, like this. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. You really don't have to love someone to share God's good news with them. Did you know that? We've all seen these angry street preachers with megaphones, you know, who are clearly spreading God's love, but man, they sure seem angry. And I don't know who they're angry at. You don't have to love someone to share God's good news with them. You do have to love someone to share your life with them. Or actually, the word that is used is soul. We not only shared good news, we shared our very souls with you, is what Paul was telling this group of people. That is much different than just a casual encounter. Wouldn't you agree? So we are created to be in community. I mean, we have that built into us. We were created to experience life with other people. Think about Christmas family get-togethers with no hugs. Think about Husker Day games with no high fives. Think about a good joke with no one to tell it to. The loss of a loved one with no shoulder to cry on. Think about a marriage with no one to love. The desire to live in community has been placed in us by our Creator. God created us in the image of Himself, and we see, even within Himself, this community. We see that God, from the very beginning, was God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, right? The big theological term for this is Trinity, but basically just means God is one, but yet there's plurality there. Even the clubs represent this idea of the Trinity. We were made to be in community. So when it comes to the groups that we do life with, or the clubs that we're in, see what I did there? We really were made to experience this life together. And I know you know this, because think about the times in your life when you felt most loved, most wanted, things were going the best, right? My guess is that's not in times of isolation for you. It's in times when there was community. Maybe it was family, maybe it was friends, maybe it was all of that together working in harmony. So we do things here at Reality Church a certain way. We're not completely unique in everything that we do, but we've chosen to do certain programs, certain events, certain ministries that a lot of other places don't do like we do necessarily, and we don't do like they do. It doesn't make either one of us right or wrong. There are other churches, for instance, that provide adult Sunday school. Other churches only meet in homes, for instance. It doesn't make what they do bad. Listen, they're playing with their own hand, right? They have a hand. And our prayer is that in their context, that's the absolute best hand that they could play. Because we need them to succeed. We need other churches to succeed. So we hope that whatever they're doing, that's the absolute best. Okay, so what we've decided is for what God has given us, we're going to play our hand. And so that's why we do some things that may be a little bit different than others. For instance, we don't provide adult Sunday school on Sundays. We really haven't, mainly for a couple of reasons. One is space. We've never had the space to do that as a church. But more importantly is another reason, because you could argue, now that we own the entire building, you could say, well, we could build that whole thing out for adult Sunday school space. We could, but we're not going to, because we've identified that our largest barrier to growth is not adult Sunday school space. It's space for kids and youth, because the people that we're reaching are our families. These families have kids, and these kids need to run around and play around and love God and love church. And so that's the hand that we are playing in that particular area. So just because we could do a lot of good things, we're not going to do everything. So we're saying, here's our hand. Here's why we do some of the things that we do. So the hand that we've chosen to play when it comes to risk, okay, the overall hand is what we call groups. This is kind of where we put all of our emphasis as it relates to the risk process, the risk step in the process. We want to revolve everything around groups, and these can be a lot of different groups that you'll hear about, you know, men's groups, women's groups, discussion groups, life groups, marriage groups, a lot of different things that we do here, all falls under the main group category. But as pastors, there are things that we get to experience that we wish every one of you could experience at some point. There are things that we get to see that we wish we could somehow just snap our fingers and everyone understand how neat and cool it is. For instance, being able to walk with someone through maybe even being hostile to God all the way over here to living a life of serving God. We wish that everyone could experience all of those steps. Sometimes it's quick. Sometimes it takes a lifetime, right? But it makes it no less a miracle when it happens. We wish we could snap our fingers and everyone get to experience what it feels like to see someone you love baptized. Many of you have. You've participated in that. We hope everybody gets to do that. We wish everyone could experience what it feels like to live a life of generosity where you're open-handed to God and your possessions don't possess you. We wish that for everyone. We wish everyone could understand what it feels like to be plugged into a ministry and serve in kids and students and groups and all these other ministries that we do. We wish everyone. But if you had to say, Robert, what's the one thing that as a staff, if you guys could just magically snap your fingers and everyone got, it would be this, that you would be involved in a group of other people focusing on Jesus all together as you go through life. That you would have a positive group experience as you do life together with your friends. That would be it. Why do you say that? Because that is the very DNA of all of us. That's how God created us. Because we believe that circles are better than rows. We believe that this environment is great, but this environment is our focus environment. Lance talked about that last week. We don't believe that this environment is conducive to those life-altering discussions that you have with your friends. I mean, because you're looking at me talk. I'm talking up here for like 30 minutes. Not a lot of interaction, right? I can maybe provoke you to think, but that's about it. It's not until you take your chairs and turn them towards one another where you can ask hard questions, where people can ask hard questions of you. We believe that circles for true life transformation are better than rows for that particular context. Now, some of you may be new to church. You may be new to this style of church, and you're like, I don't understand what you're saying. That's fine. Allow me to just not speak directly to you just for a couple of minutes. I want to talk to the regulars. I want to talk to you guys who you've been at Reality Church for a long time and you understand the DNA. You helped us become who we are, okay? There are many of you who have been coming to Reality Church for a long time and you're still not involved in some sort of group. And we've heard all the excuses, right? We've heard all of them. Some of my favorites are, we have to deal with a lot right now. There's so much going on in life. It's just too crazy. We can't be in a group. Are you kidding me? That's why you need to be in a group. Like, if you're waiting for life to ease until you get in a group, come on, you know the answer to that. When life gets crazy, that's when you need to be in a group so those people can be there for you. Some of you men are out there, you're like, you know what, I'm just not a life group kind of guy. I don't think that's it, gentlemen. I just think you're scared. I think you're afraid of being known. You're afraid of opening up because somewhere along the line you've convinced yourself if people really knew, they would run away. Like, it doesn't exist in your mind a world where people really knew you and came towards you. You've convinced yourself of that. Or maybe you're like, we'd love to, but we're just too busy. I mean, kids, school, sports, work, all the other stuff, right? I mean, who's not busy, right? But here's what also I know to be true. Every one of us in here found a way to do whatever it was this week that we made a priority. I know we did. So if I could just push you a little bit, just push you off dead center just a little bit and say, listen to what God maybe has to say for you this morning. Because here's the truth that we believe. You can believe Jesus in isolation, but you can only follow him in community. Now that's a bold statement. And I thought, do I want to put that up there for everybody to see? And I thought, yes, absolutely. Isn't that what Jesus taught? When they said, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? He didn't just say, love God. Love him. Just love him a lot. What else did he say? Love others. He knew you couldn't divorce those two. You can't say you love God without loving others. I can say I love God, and you just have to take my word for it, right? But if I say I love others, well, you can measure that, can't you? So you can believe him in isolation. Guys, you can only follow him in community. And that's what we want for everybody. Because in circles, life happens, growth happens, accountability happens, healing happens in circles. So I want to talk about just two of our groups today, two of the groups that we want to put an emphasis on. And so we want to show our hand and just say, here are two hands that we're playing as it falls under the groups category. So the first one that I want us to look at is life groups. We don't consider ourselves a church with life groups. We consider Reality Church a church of life groups. Now, here's the difference, if you're not sure. A church with life groups is a church that has just added life groups on to their plan. Probably what happened somewhere along the line is someone convinced the pastor of the church, hey, there's this new thing everybody's talking about. It's called home groups, life groups, small groups, community groups, cell groups, whatever you want to call it. There's this new thing people are doing. We should do that too. Yeah, let's do that too. So they'll just add it on and they'll have that. The problem is you can't really sustain that over time. It can't be an add-on when you're doing all these other things, maybe Sunday school, maybe some other disciple program and life groups and all this other stuff. Too many plates spinning. We don't want to be that way. We don't consider ourselves a church that has life groups. We consider ourselves a church of life groups. So this time here on Sundays is a gathering. It's a celebration of life groups. We fully expect for you guys to be in community throughout the rest of the week with each other. That makes this time on Sunday so much better. I don't know who said this. I can't find it anywhere. But I read somewhere, it used to be that churches were a place that people came to celebrate the community that they had throughout the rest of the week. Nowadays, it seems like church is the place that people come to find the community that they don't have throughout the rest of the week. We want to push against that because, like I said earlier, if you're coming here to have your community needs, those things that God put deep down in us, if you're coming here to get those filled, guys, I got to tell you something you already know. This is not the best option for that. Like, you can communicate a little bit in here, maybe out in the lobby over a cup of coffee, but that's about it. This is not the best scenario for that. So we want a church of life groups, meaning people who are doing community together. That way when we come together, all together on Sundays, it's a celebration. We can worship together. Tim Keller says it like this. Community is like air. We don't really miss it until we need it. And if you don't know this already, let me fill you in. You will need it. You will come to a point in your life where you need community. There's a book in the Old Testament called Ecclesiastes. It was written by a guy named Solomon, wisest man who ever lived, okay? And so we can kind of believe what he says. And so he wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, he writes this, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Now, if any of you are like in a job or a business where it's sort of management related, you know, there's goals and expectations and you all have to work together and all that kind of stuff. My guess is that somewhere along the line, somebody has held a business meeting, gathered everybody in the conference room, and started talking about the word synergy, right? We need synergy. We need more synergy. Tom, start working on synergy, okay? But the problem is nobody really knows what that means. They just read about it. And we need more synergy, okay? Solomon in Ecclesiastes is talking about the principle of synergy. He understands this. Because what the principle of synergy says, that one person can do the job of one person. But two people working together can do the job of not two people, more like three people, because there's an empowerment that comes when two people are working together. And so it's often written with the equation 1 + 1 = 3, okay? And so if you guys, you students are about to start school this week, just impress that with your teachers. You'd be like, 1 + 1 = 3, it's the principle of synergy. You'll get an A, trust me, it'd be awesome. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. If you have not already experienced this, you will. You will fall. I don't want to dampen your day But I'm giving you a heads up. Why? Because in Luke 17, it says that it's impossible for any one of us to get through this life without something making us stumble. At least one thing. Some of us have many things. But at least one thing. It's impossible that any one of us are going to get through this life without something making us stumble. And usually when we stumble over things, it's because we don't see it. And pity the person that doesn't have someone right there beside them who, when they stumble, can help them back up. That's what we are seeing from this passage. So imagine the falls that you've experienced in your life. Maybe not you yourself, but in your family. So think about your parents, your grandparents, where you came from, right? Think about the falls that have been in your family. How would it have affected your life today, your children's life today, if your parents or your grandparents had a group of people around them who refused to let them walk away from your family, him or her? What if your mom or your dad had a group of people around them who refused to let him or her drink their way out of your family, workaholic their way out of your family? What would that look like for you today? What if they had a group of people around them who said, look, let's state the obvious. You guys have problems, and we're not going anywhere. We want to help you with this. We'll pay for your counseling. We'll drive you to counseling if we have to. But a group of people that refuse to go away, what would that look like for your life? What would that have changed for your kids' life if your parents had that, if your grandparents had that? Guys, some of you go to three different houses on Christmas Day because you have a family who was convinced they can follow Jesus in isolation. And it's just not possible. You can't do it. I want to show you a video of someone who took a giant risk in life groups. And I need to preface it by saying this. In the video, she mentions the church name is Shadow Lake. Many of you are new and you don't know this. We used to be called Shadow Lake Community Church, but we changed our name when we moved here. So I didn't want you to be confused about the video. So let's take a look at Sarah's story about life groups.
I grew up in the Catholic Church, so it was kind of built in, and I've never really struggled with believing. I struggled with my faith after I got pregnant with our daughter, just being singled out because I was a single parent in the Catholic Church. And when Chris and I got married, it was really important that we found a church that we could feel like we could grow a little bit more and build a foundation for our kids. We shopped around for about 6 months before we found Shadow Lake. The first or second series, I remember Roger getting up and talking about life groups and how it was really important that we got involved. Chris was all for it right away. I was hesitant. I was pregnant with our second. I was sick. I was working a lot. It was just something I didn't feel comfortable doing. And my other fear was that I would feel inferior to people in life group because although I grew up in the Catholic Church, I didn't know the Bible as well as some other people, and that's kind of scary when you're joining a life group about the Bible and feeling inferior to people. You kind of shut down or you kind of hold back. And I remember going to work the day that we had started our life group, and I was just dreading it all day, and I can remember just thinking, how can I get out of this? I really don't want to go. I just want to stay home, and I don't want to go here. Chris wouldn't let me out of it. He just kept pushing me to go, and he said, it'll be good for you. You'll meet people, and that's never a bad thing. So during the summer, we had our son, Kyler, and 5 weeks after we had him, we had a life-changing episode where he stopped breathing, and we had to call the rescue squad, and Chris was performing CPR. And just at that moment where you realize that it's truly God in control of what's going on in the situation. That night I was sitting up at Children's Hospital and I couldn't sleep because I felt like if I fell asleep and something were to happen, it would be my fault. It was a quarter to midnight and I received a text message from somebody in our life group. She's like, I don't know what happened, but I've been up all night praying for you and your family. And that moment I was just like, yeah, these people really do care about you, and they're there to support you in any way that you can. And I think that kind of changed my entire perspective of Life Group, is that these people are here to support you and rally around you, and to be there for you when you're struggling and when you need prayer, and just when you need somebody to hold you accountable. I now lead our Life Group, and I use situations to be vulnerable. And to this day, when I talk about that story of Kyler, it's hard not to get emotional about it, because there was a chance that we could have lost him. And I think about our struggles in our marriage, that it's not uncommon, but it's just nice to have the support there. I mean, my big thing is, what do you have to lose? I mean, everybody could use some support. We've all had our struggles, and what's great about Life Group is that there's different people and different places in their life that can kind of help you through whatever you're going through, and that they challenge you to be better, and they challenge you to grow in your faith, but they're there to support you. You're never alone anymore.
Such a great story. I don't know if you caught it, but Sarah now leads their Life Group. I thought that was fantastic. But guys, I got to be honest, we're never going to shut up talking about Life Groups. We're just not going to do it. We're convinced. We're convinced that that's what God wants us to do, that He designed us to live in community with one another. So we have opportunities. Life Groups start back up the second week of September. You can sign up today out in the lobby. You can sign up online, reality.church/lifegroups. Tons of opportunities for you to sign up. So that is one hand when it comes to groups, one hand that we're playing. Another hand that we're playing that we want to show is something called re-engage. This is a new hand for us when it comes to the game that we're playing with the cards. For the past several years, God has been working in me and my wife, Shelley, just giving us what some people call a holy discontent, meaning we are just completely frustrated at the decay of marriages around us. I know I'm not alone in this. Don't you ever just get the feeling like, what is going on? Why can't somebody do something about this? What is happening to our nation, right, when it comes to marriages? So obviously God's working on the rest of the staff also. And so we had just gotten fed up with marriage after marriage falling apart around us. And what made it worse is by the time a couple would break down and come see one of us on staff, it was all but over. Like, we never felt like we were doing any sort of preventative medicine. It honestly felt like we were in an operation room doing triage. Like, by the time a couple came to us, there were so many bullet wounds and gunshot holes and bloody bandages in their marriage that the best we could do is just call a time of death. That's what it felt like. So we thought about it, and we prayed about it. We ran across a ministry of a church down in Dallas called Watermark Church. I was very familiar with Watermark Church, being from Texas. And so in February, Shelley and I went down there, met with the leadership, got to see everything in action, and just, you know, really, really fell in love with this thing that they're doing for marriages down there. Brought it back up here, talked with the rest of the staff, and we decided we're going to launch this. And so this summer, at the beginning of summer, we launched a pilot session of Reengage, and we sort of handpicked 19 couples. And we said, we want you guys to go through Reengage in the hopes that you would become leaders of it in the future. And of the 19 couples, we finished a couple of weeks ago with 18 of them. So I thought that was a pretty good amount. So I could go on and on and on, honestly, about Reengage, but I thought I would show you another video. I feel like the substitute teacher today, just showing videos. So I want to show another video of the participants of this summer's pilot session. So let's take a look at this.
I would describe our marriage prior to Reengage as an 8 on a scale of 1 to 10.
Work in progress.
Really good.
We always thought that we had a pretty good marriage.
You know, when you've been married for almost 40 years, you kind of have learned to blend together.
Good, but I don't think it was great. How I benefited was just to remember that I need to focus on me.
The joy of working together and encouraging one another and working through trials has really drawn us closer together.
Well, there's definitely more benefits.
If we started to have a small argument, it never got to that point where we both blew up.
So re-engage is something that just helps to strengthen your marriage, and you get a week to practice on one thing at a time.
And a level of intimacy, the being real with each other.
Yeah, kind of connecting better.
Yep.
I think one thing I realized going through re-engage is that, since we've only been married for 3 years, that there's a lot of tools that we needed, you know, in our bag that we didn't have.
There's always room for growth. There's always areas that you can work on together.
Wanting to serve in a way that we can minister together and help other couples to have better marriages.
God created marriage for fun, and we just enjoy being married to each other. He doesn't always think like I do, that's for sure.
We have a lot of love and support, and so Re-engage really opened our eyes to that. Being in our small group and having that conversation really, really helped.
It's nice to know that a lot of the problems that you have, somebody else has the same exact problem.
I think out of the small group time, we learned that we're not alone.
And then somehow with that many more people, you can kind of figure out why you do the things that you do, and you can have a better understanding of why your spouse does what they do, and I don't know, it was very helpful.
You can feel alone in your marriage. You can be struggling with things and feel like you're the only one that has this issue, or why are we struggling with this?
I think that's the good part, is to see that we're all in this together.
Other couples have been places that you haven't been. They have experiences that you don't have. They've probably had some successes where you've had failures, and they can help you, you know, to improve or to learn from those.
Once somebody opened up, it was like the floodgates opened, and then everybody was just like, we have the same issue.
Not only did this class help our marriage, but it also helped in dealing with people at work, in dealing with people around the community.
I would just encourage anybody, any marriage, to come and experience Re-engage.
30 years, 5 years, newly married, it doesn't matter. You will get something out of it, and it's going to be way more than you anticipated, and it is so incredibly worth it.
I say the one thing is that your marriage can be better.
Everyone can benefit from Re-engage. You don't have to have a marriage that's in crisis, although a marriage in crisis absolutely can benefit from Re-engage.
And you may think, oh, we'll be okay without it. And you maybe will be okay, but what you gain from it, you will look back and say, oh, I'm so glad we didn't miss this.
What I would say to somebody who's going to do Re-engage is, like, I would think I would say, bravo.
So whether your marriage is a 1 and you want to get to a 2, or it's an 8 and you want to get to a 9, Re-engage is a safe place for you to reconnect, reignite, or resurrect your marriage. No matter where you are, you can begin to experience God's plan for your marriage.
Imagine the impact on our community if our marriages were as healthy as they could be. And just like everybody knows, everyone just instinctively knows that if your kid is sick, you take him to the ER. And if you have a teenager, you take him to high school. What if people instinctively knew when they heard Reality Church, oh yeah, that's where you go if you want to work on your marriage? That's a lofty dream. That's a lofty goal. But that's my dream. Apart from, you know, impacting generations to come because of healthy marriages, right? That's almost a given. My dream is that we impact people in that way. Because here's the truth, guys. People want help for their marriage. And they may not like the music that we sing. They may not like the messages that we say. They may not, get this, even believe in the God that we worship. But if we can help their marriage, they'll come. And so that's my dream, that we'll get to a point where even the state wakes up and recognizes, hey, is anybody doing anything about this? Yeah, one place is, and it's Reality Church. Because here's what we know to be true. I did some stats on Nebraska divorces per year of marriage, okay? And I don't think there's anything necessarily shocking about this. I think we all would know that those first 10 years are really volatile. So most divorces happen with couples within the first 10 years. But what's sad about this graph, if that wasn't sad enough, what's sad is we as a church staff, we don't see these couples till about 15, 20 years in. That's when they come to us. So you can tell by that, we are helping a very small percentage of marriages. And most marriages have already decided that divorce is the only option. And I want people to wake up to that. And here's the truth. Across the nation, every year, family fragmentation, which is what they call it because it's a prettier word, I guess. Family fragmentation cost U.S. taxpayers $112 billion a year. You and I are paying for this. And I've seen what happens in other places is the state wakes up and says, wait a minute, you factor in all these social costs and these economic costs and what happens to the kids and all this stuff. This is costing us a lot of money. So just out of a pure financial motivation, the state is like, hey, is anybody doing anything about this? We'll waive wedding license fees. We'll waive all kind of fees if you'll go get some counseling from somebody. That's what my dream is that even the state is sending people to us to do something about marriage. So I know you think that's a crazy dream, maybe, you know, like that's really out there. Listen, I'm convinced that when people hear your dream, they ought to hear how big your God is. So I think it's possible. So we want you to do a few things real quick. We want you to risk relationships. How do you do that? Simple. Sign up for life groups. You can sign up today. Sign up online or out in the lobby. Or sign up again. Because I know some of you, you're like, we tried the life group thing. But listen, I get it. Not all life groups are for all people. Find a new one, for crying out loud. Because that excuse never works with your child. Like, no one ever teaches their child to ride a bike, and after they fall, be like, well, it was a good try. I guess you're done. Let's take the bike back. No more trying there. No. Get them back on the bike. You do it again. So sign up or sign up again, okay? That's what we're asking you to do. We want you to risk authenticity. When it comes to marriage, what I wish all those couples who are coming to see us at year 20 realized is there is no easy fix. There is no pill you can take. There is no conference you can go to that will fix your marriage. It is a hard road and an uphill road at that. But we want you to risk authenticity because that's the only route in which healing can happen. Because you can't be fake and healing happen. You can't do it. We want you to be authentic. Now, we try to make it a little easier for you. We don't ask you to be authentic in front of hundreds of people. We put you in a small group of people and say, hey, with this small group, be authentic with them. Be open and vulnerable with them. And you heard, you know, what can come from that. From those that went through it. Reengage is going to be on Tuesday nights this fall. We'll start actually in a couple of weeks on the 23rd. If you're just like, I don't want to commit, but I want to find out what this is, come on the 23rd. We're not going to make you sign your life away, anything like that. Just come check it out. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. We'll probably do it again in the spring. Okay? So just come check it out, see what you think. The other thing we want you guys to do is something that you already want to do yourselves. We want you to truly make a difference. Why? Because we know you want to. Like anybody I've ever met that was worth anything wants to make a difference in this world. They want to know that the world is a better place because they were in it. And so we have opportunities. We have opportunities in life groups and reengage. We have life groups, guys, that are complete, except they have no home to meet in. They're homeless life groups. They have a leader, they have a facilitator, meaning they have someone in charge and they have someone to go through all the questions and all of that, but they just don't have a home. So, you know, maybe you and your wife were sitting around last night thinking, wow, God gave us this big home. All the kids are gone. What are we going to do? I got an idea. Open up your home one night of the week. We have needs like that. We have, if you want to be a life group leader or a facilitator, or if you don't know what any of those are and they sound like funny names, you can go check out the descriptions at the life group table out in the lobby. We have opportunities. We have opportunities in re-engage. Probably the biggest, honestly, is childcare. Because there are couples who could not come if we did not provide childcare. And so we made the decision early on, we're going to provide childcare for these people. And we don't just see it as babysitting. We see it as saving marriages. And so early on, I began to pray, God, send me someone. Send me someone who just could champion this childcare thing, because it's not really my skill set, okay? And he did. He sent me a lady named Tiffany Dahlman, and she's a godsend. And she gets the vision, like she understands, I'm not just back here watching kids. I'm saving marriages by being back here. And she's like I said, she's a godsend. She's got a schedule. She's got it worked out to where you don't even have to serve every week, okay? We just need you to volunteer. We need you. If you're like, you know what, our marriage is great, good, invest in somebody else's. Serve. Volunteer. We need your assistance. And you can register or volunteer for Reengage at reality.church/reengage. Or you can visit the table out there in the lobby today. There'll be people back there answering your questions. Guys, true life change is possible. I want you to know that. But it does come through community. You do have to risk. And unless you're willing to risk, remember, if something's keeping you back from going all in, then you're never going to experience what it truly feels like to win. Let's pray.